You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Hi, ladies. I want to visit with you guys and let's have a discussion about the vaccine mandates and how you feel about employers requiring their employees to have the vaccination. And it's such a big subject right now. I mean, the healthcare is making their employees get the vaccination. I've seen that Google said, hey, if you don't get the vaccination, if you don't get the vaccine, you're out on your job, you're not going to have your job. And it pulls me in so many different directions because I don't know that I can require my employees to get the vaccine. I just feel like that is an invasion of their freedom. And like I said, I don't even know your opinion yet, but I am wrestling with this within myself, and I kind of like to know you guys' take on it.
I wrestle with this too, Tracy, because, you know, there are places. So here's both sides, how my mind works. You have the one side that says, you know, people in the hospitals need to get vaccinated. And I'll tell you, I have some good friends who went to the emergency room for a heart condition of the man, and they are older and they now have COVID because they got it. They picked it up at the hospital. Now, did they pick it up from a patient or did they pick it up from somebody there? I don't know the answer to that. So that one, it makes sense to me, but I'm still going somewhere with this. So don't lose me if you disagree. Our military is another one that they're saying that they all have to have it regardless of what they think. And, you know, so I've thought about that and I thought, well, you know, if you're in the military and you're near all these people, you can't afford to have your whole company down because it's been passed around. In businesses, you know, I could see that in food businesses and things like that. Now, the other side of that coin and the other part of me says exactly what you said. That's really intrusive on people's beliefs and rights. And I have a lot of friends who have had COVID, friends who haven't had COVID, who refuse to take the vaccine no matter what, because they believe this whole doomsday thing that has been put out, that China is going to come back with a version of this that is going to hit only the people with the vaccines. Now, if you haven't heard that, it's all over, you know, social media. And that's one of the reasons people aren't doing it. In addition, there are people with health issues that prevent them. There are people that just don't want to put this in their body, especially since it's not yet FDA approved. There are just a lot of facets to this conversation. And it's really, you know, kind of a head scratcher because I don't know what the answer is to this. There are good arguments on both sides. And by the way, I have to add in that I know loads of people who've had the vaccine that also have COVID at this time or are getting over it or are in the middle of it. So, you know, it's a big one.
It is a big one, and I don't know what to say about it either, especially as an employer. And I just, you know, here's the thing. If you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you don't. That's how I feel about it. I'm not mad at you if you do. I'm not mad at you if you don't. I believe that is your own freedom to decide in America. So basically, that's my stand in it. Now, we're going to have a lot of you know, if they keep pushing the vaccine, especially if the FDA finalizes it and approves it, and they keep pushing it, there's going to be a lot of blowback, especially in my side of the country, which is, you know, Oklahoma, the southern states. So I'm just kind of getting ready for it, and I just wanted to know you guys' opinion, and that's just how I'm taking it.
Tracy, my thoughts are, I kind of look at it a little bit, I do understand that there are plenty of different sides and facets to the conversation, but I kind of look at it as, is it at this point, we don't really know, okay, how effective it is, because clearly people are getting COVID who have been vaccinated, but it is the only thing that we do have at this point. And if that's the case, is it any different than saying, okay, I'm not going to get vaccinated for tuberculosis or some other really awful disease, which you put other people at risk who are around you? So I do understand the mandate for the vaccine. And I also feel that for school purposes, kids go to school, they come home, they have grandparents at home, they have parents at home, they have siblings, all kinds of people around them. And should we require the kids to be vaccinated? I kind of feel like the teacher should be vaccinated. I kind of feel like the kids should, if they are obviously of age, be vaccinated. And I a little bit appreciate my kids' schools that are requiring the kids to be vaccinated. So I don't know. I don't have a set opinion because I do understand it. And I do think that from the perspective of an employer, that it is your own, it's your own choice whether or not you require it. But I do like the fact that people are vaccinated. It makes me feel a little secure when I know that everybody around me has been vaccinated. That's just my own personal feeling.
You know, we have the smallpox vaccine. We have the polio vaccine. So we have the vaccines that we all had to take a bunch of when we were young to even be able to go to school, right?
That's what I thought too. Yeah, that's true.
The difference is that those have been around a long time and they have a lot more research behind them. And I think that's what makes people nervous. People somehow, I don't know, this whole conspiracy theorist mindset that a lot of people seem to have around the COVID. And you could call the fact that, I mean, I personally believe that China put this out intentionally. I believe that they did it to do exactly what it did. And I absolutely also believe that there's more coming. That being said, this vaccine seems to work, but we don't have a lot of time behind it. So I think that that makes people nervous. And again, the fact that the FDA has not approved it yet. So I don't think it's unreasonable for a vaccine to be required, just like the other ones are required. I mean, the polio vaccine from when I was a kid, I mean, that just changed the lives of millions and millions of children. That I had little friends that were in the walking braces and everything because of polio. So, I mean, that was really a good thing. But this is very new, and we just don't have the history behind it yet. And again, you know, people are very, very nervous about it.
It has a lot to do with the history because we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the side effects are. So it makes us all hesitant because a preacher of ours, he actually had contracted polio when he was young, and it just about took his life. And like you said, Linda, look at all the people now that, you know, all the kids that's been saved by taking that vaccine. So I just don't know enough about it, and I feel like it's kind of just pushed down our throat. But then again, I see the other side of it too. So I don't know.
It was the one thing I feel like that was able, that allowed our country to sort of open up. Once people started getting that vaccine, everybody all of a sudden felt safe to go out and to walk around and to go to parties again and to be with family and to travel. And it changed. It kind of changed our whole life this summer, that vaccine. So, you know, that's another perspective as well. Like, it allowed us to get back to life. I mean, you can't stay home forever, but it is a little nerve-wracking to be out there with a lot of unvaccinated people and to put yourself at risk. I mean, I actually was at a convention a couple of weeks ago. There were 10,000 people there. There was nobody even wearing a mask. I really couldn't believe it. I hadn't been around that many people in so long. And I was shocked to see that it was almost like an alternate universe. Like, did anybody even think that there was COVID around? Nobody was wearing a mask. And we were in one big, huge room together, all 10,000 of us. Is everyone vaccinated here? I don't know.
Yeah. Am I? No, I'm not. I did have COVID and I'm not vaccinated. No.
Mm-hmm.
I have not vaccinated yet. And like I said, I'm just, you know, and I even have two vacations planned next year that I'm excited to go on, you know, and that kind of worries me because, you know, I know that the airlines are kind of putting mandates on and cruise lines are, and there's just so many facets to this because we can go into the fake vaccine card. No, I have not. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I can see both sides of this, of the story. But I do not feel like, as an employer, sitting everybody down and saying, hey, you got to get vaccinated. I feel like that's an invasion of their freedom. I really do.
Well, I don't think nobody's making you say that, right, Tracy? Not at this point.
No. They're not. And I don't know, you know, of course they're not. No, but I know it's a big deal, you know, and it's really getting pushed right now. So I can see both sides, and I'm pretty firm on what my decision is. And this one, I don't know.
What about?
Yeah, I mean, all of my employees chose to get vaccinated. So I don't even, that wasn't my decision. That was totally their decision. So I don't really have that issue, but now, you know, since we have this Delta variant and breakthrough, it's worrisome because you can still get it. And like I said, I know a lot of people who've been vaccinated who have COVID, and they're saying, this is no joke. I mean, I'm sick and I can't even imagine what it would have been like if I didn't have the vaccine. So, you know, I still think it's a personal decision. Now, when I go, I'm about to go to Europe. And when I go to Europe, I have had to fill out all of these papers for Europe, tracking me and what seat I'm on the plane and all those things. And then I have to get a green pass, which is a card that will, it's not that it's hard to get. It's easy to get because I have my vaccine paperwork, but I'm not allowed to eat inside of any restaurant in Italy without showing that green pass. So, you know, I mean, people are requiring it in a lot of places, and the cruise ships were also requiring it, but they won in Florida a court order that said that they don't have to require it. So I thought that was good news. Just again, it's a catch 22 because, you know, you want to preserve people's rights to make that decision about their health. On the other hand, you want to preserve your own rights to not be exposed. So that's a tough one. It's just a very tough question. And I resent our administration forcing it down people's throats as they have been. I think encouraging people, I think getting the FDA to get it approved, I think those things would be helpful. And in communities, especially people of color who are very wary of vaccines because the government was dishonest with them in the past about them. So that, you know, that they need to do outreach, not mandates.
I like that. Yes. And so explain to me what happened in Florida. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You said, I did hear it, but I didn't understand. Are you saying they're not requiring it in Florida, vaccine?
Okay. So one of the cruise lines, and I don't remember which one it was. I want to say Norwegian, that, you know, they embark and disembark in Florida, right? The cruise leaves from Florida.
Mm-hmm, and right.
So Florida had mandated that the cruise ships have to have all of their passengers be vaccinated. And the cruise line sued and they won. And that Florida cannot dictate to those cruise lines that they have to have people vaccinated.
Interesting. I did not know that. I knew it was a big deal with Norwegian, but I didn't know the full story of that. So,
Well, that's all I know. I don't know how full of a story that is.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it seems,
I don't know. Go ahead and listen.
Oh, I was going to say, to me, it seems I understand the invasion of freedom and so forth, but I don't know. I kind of lean towards the thought of, are they going to allow you on a cruise ship? If I guess they don't really ever check vaccinations. It's not like they ask for your vaccine, you know, your vaccine list, but are you going to go on a cruise ship? Really? If do you really want to be on a cruise ship? If there are all these people there who haven't been vaccinated, it seems that cruise ships are the first places where things just start spreading like wildfire, viruses and so forth. I personally wouldn't want to get on a cruise ship for that reason. I'm dying to take a cruise, but at this point, I don't really feel so comfortable getting on a cruise ship, not knowing whether there's COVID on there. I agree with you, Linda, that it really is no joke and that you can get really, really sick. And in a way, it's almost no different than requiring, you know, schools requiring kids to show up to school with their immunizations. You can't go to school without giving your school your health chart and your immunizations. And I feel comfortable knowing that. I feel comfortable knowing that every kid in that school is vaccinated against all these terrible things. So,
Elisa, I'm going to ask you this though, because you just said you went somewhere with 10,000 people in a room. How do you know mm-hmm. that all those people were vaccinated? And if they weren't, why were you willing to do that?
I didn't know that. I honestly, when I went to that convention, you're 100% right. When I went to that convention, I honestly wasn't sure what the protocol was going to be and how people were going to be divided up. And I was quite shocked when there was not even a mention of COVID. It was almost like it never even existed. So I was one of the only people in that room where I would say maybe 10% or less of the 10,000 people were wearing masks. I was masked the whole time. I didn't stay in the room any longer than the program lasted. I have to say, I was not totally comfortable with it. But I flew down to Atlanta and I was there. And so, you know, would I choose to go to a place where I'm 100% sure that, you know, there's not going to be any sort of protocols? Probably not. I kind of was a little bit not sure when I got there. I didn't know what to expect. So it was a little surprising, I'll be honest. And I honestly didn't hear of any sort of, there was no sort of super spreader or anything like that from that convention either. So that was a good thing. But that being said, you're 100% right. I walked in there and I could not get over for days. I was telling everybody, could not get over the fact that all those people were in the room together and nobody was even masked. So it was uncomfortable. It was an uncomfortable situation.
Well, this is obviously an interesting subject that brings lots of opinions and a lot of feelings into our opinions. As a business owner, I've been in business for 26 years. And I've had to deal with a lot of employee emotions since the COVID hit. So we're probably in this, a year, 5 months? I don't know exactly what it is, but lots and lots of emotions. And so it's a touchy subject all around, and I'm interested to see how it plays out. To vaccinate or not to vaccinate, that's totally your choice. I'm not going to judge. I just don't want you to force me. I feel like that's an invasion of my freedom, and I certainly understand both your girls' points. I just wanted to share it. So we're kind of on both sides of the spectrum, and it's interesting to hear both sides. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out as well.
Yeah. And you know what? In the same vein of talking about COVID and things that have happened because of COVID, there's an issue that really bothers me that President Biden put back on the rent control issue that had, it was over, right? So landlords could start charging rent again to their renters. And President Biden said no. And actually, he knows that he doesn't have the authority to do that. Only Congress can do that, but they didn't. So, and that's going to go to the Supreme Court for sure. But either way, in the meantime, landlords can't charge rent to people who are choosing not to pay it, blaming COVID. And this has been well over a year, probably a year and a half, that this has been a situation. And you know what? Why are we only thinking about the renters here? Because the vast majority of renters are still making income. they're either getting unemployment or they still have their job. And there are certainly millions of jobs in this country that are available that are going unfilled because people don't want to work. Why should they be able to get out of their rent as well? And why should they go back to work when they don't have rent to pay? And then you look at the landlords, who are the same kind of people as renters. They're just people who, for their business, they buy properties and they rent them. So now they have no income. And this is going to be a huge property grab. People are going to be losing their properties left and right. Once again, as we did back in 2008, when we lost, you know, when all the people were losing their properties. I just think this is a horrible thing to do to people that own property. And it is a free ride for other people, because the people that are going to take advantage of this are not necessarily the greatest of people. They are the people that want to take advantage. And the people that are legitimately, you know, ethical and honest, that they will go out of their way to pay their rent because they know it's the right thing to do. I just am extremely insulted that we are doing this to landlords as though they are some sort of elite class that can afford this. They can't. They're just regular working people.
Okay. 100%. Totally agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. Let me tell you my situation right here. So I have some rentals, and I have a couple that were renting from me, and they are behind on the rent. He has been battling COVID for quite some time. Okay. Went into ICU, came out, went back into ICU, not paying rent. So here I am, you know, we're several thousand dollars in the hole with this guy that's been in ICU. So my heart is like, I know he can't work. I know his wife is trying her best, but taking care of him, taking care of children. And these are people that were spot on paying their rent before. So, yes, they need to say, I'm going to try to make an effort and pay you what I can. Because here's the deal. If I didn't have that property paid for, it would be bad. You know, if I had a mortgage, it's paid for. So if I had a mortgage, I'd be in a really bad spot. Plus, then you're like, I'm throwing out a man on his deathbed practically with his wife because they're not paying rent. There's again, we got another touchy subject, you know, and I'm in the middle of it. I can see both sides. I don't want to throw a man that's been battling COVID that is just about to kill him, and they can't pay rent when their history is they do pay rent. But like if I had a mortgage on it, I would be in bad trouble because I've been trying to work with them. So, and then there are many, many people that took totally advantage of it. Many people. I mean, I've had that thrown into my face a couple of times. So
Tracy, what would you do though, if you did have a mortgage and you did need the rent, then what do you do?
I don't know. See, you'd have to move them out, I guess. I don't know. I that's the thing. I'm fortunate enough. I'm carrying him because I know he's been so sick. And then at the same time, you know, landlords are just normal people and they have mortgages, and it's just basically sometimes, unless you're a mega one, it's just a side income. And so it's just tough. I mean, it's hard to say I'm going to throw you out and you're sick. But then I'm telling you, people are totally taking advantage of it, because I'll get, you know, you can't throw me out, I've had COVID, you know, whatever. And it's that kind of attitude that just infuriates me. But with the attitude of these couples, that, you know, this couple that's just has always paid on time, and it's hard. It's tough. Well,
could the government be doing something to help the landlord? It seems like the landlord does always get the bad end of the stick. It's always, you know, the tenant's rights. And I understand that too. But is there something that could be done to help the landlords? It doesn't seem like the government is ever out to help the landlords. And that's a difficult situation.
Well, you know what? And you're absolutely right. Because in McAllen, Texas, the government is sending millions and millions of dollars to every single hotel, save two in McAllen, Texas, to put COVID positive illegal immigrants in those hotels in every single room. And the hotels are quiet about it because they like having the income. The government, our government, is paying for our illegal immigrants to stay in hotels, to be transported by cars, planes, and buses to their destinations of choice after they recover from COVID, or just transport them anyway. And why can't they help the landlords? I think that these should be individual decisions. I don't think that they should be something, again, that the government dictates, because they are so-called helping one set of people, the renter, and they are totally harming the people that are the people that are the landowners, the property owners, and who are just regular people. You can't choose between groups of people like that and hurt one and help the other. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Tracy, I don't know what the law is. So when a person doesn't pay their rent under this edict, do they ever have to pay it? Or I mean, do they still owe you all that back rent, or is it forgiven, or what is the situation?
See, I don't know either. I haven't pursued it enough to get to that point. I have several renters, but this is the only situation I have right now. I did have one that threw that up in my face, and I knew she was being snide though, and she paid her rent, and you know, I'm a person that's easily works. You know, I work with you, but you got to talk to me. You know, you got to tell me what's going on, and I really do not know the laws. I do not. I know it's in favor of the renter, though. I can tell you that. I know that.
That's for sure. But in some ways, mm-hmm. It seems almost like when you had to apply for the PPP loans in the very beginning of COVID, with the very beginning of the shutdowns, and they sort of considered each individual one, or so we think they did, you know, maybe that it should be a similar situation where, you know, when you're a landlord and you have a tenant like that, maybe the landlord can reach out to the government for some assistance for that particular tenant. I don't know. Maybe that's something that could be done, or is that asking way too much of our government, which probably is.
Well, it's too late. So many people. So if you take a house and you have a house and you're the landlord, that's one thing. But let's just say that you have businesses, or you have a big apartment house, and you have, you know, 100 tenants, and you've got this huge mortgage to pay on that. And then you have all these people not paying. I just don't know how those people can survive. And I just think that it's not fair to hurt the people that are the ones that are creating the jobs and the living spaces for other people. I just think those are the last people that we should be hurting, is our businesses and our people that supply housing, because, you know, in general, we're always in a housing shortage, and especially in rental housing. And, you know, what are we doing here? And what happens if then these people can't pay their mortgages? I just think it's not good. I do hope it goes to the Supreme Court. I know that Justice Kavanaugh said that this would not stand, that it was not a legal ruling to arbitrarily make this thing stay past the time that it was to be stopped, and yet they're doing it. In fact, the CDC tried to be the one to come out and say landlords have to do this, and they absolutely have no jurisdiction, no power, no right to even say that, you know? So we are in so much uncharted territory, and I feel like, I just feel like our government is taking away way too many of our rights and freedoms in this country, using COVID as an excuse to do so.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. COVID has become the ultimate excuse for everything. There's no question. But you're right about that. Like, if you have a big building and you've got to pay your mortgage, you've got to pay your mortgage. otherwise you're losing your property. And so then, and no one seems to care about that. So I think you're 100% right that at some point you can't really forgive the rent. Like even in Tracy's situation, if she had a mortgage on that property, unfortunately, most likely, you know, you'd probably have to find an alternate living situation for that family. But it can't go on. It can't go on where people are just allowed to live for free. And I think you're right. Also, it's degrading for people. People do want to, they want to pay their way. They want to understand that they've worked hard and earned what they have. And I don't think you should take that right away from people either. You know, it's a self-respect sort of a thing.
Yes, it is. And I understand that. And I don't know, ladies, it's tough. It's a tough decision. It's a tough place to be in. And I don't know. I'm probably, my heart is to a fault, I guess, because I'm just trying to work with them at this point because I feel like I should. That's just how my heart leads me. So.
But you have a good renter who you know, Tracy, is not being dishonest with you. You know their situation.
Right.
So you have taken it upon yourself to make that decision, which is your right. You are the property owner. But for the government to be telling you what you have to do, that's a whole nother conversation that it makes no sense to me. I understand that people got hurt. My own son had to leave his apartment, and he chose to leave rather than do the whole thing about not paying rent. And now he's living in one of my properties. So, you know, I mean, basically he had to move across the country to have a place to live when his job shut down, you know, during COVID. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just think that what we have given the people, certainly we've given people that need the help. Okay. But we have also given a lot of people who don't need the help an excuse to get a free ride. And I resent that. And there has to be a better way for these things to be figured out. And, you know, that people just are not arbitrarily getting helped when they don't need it and arbitrarily getting hurt when they can't afford it.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
OutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And today, our Ladies of Liberty are Tracy Halpain. Tracy is in Oklahoma, and she's a business owner. She has so many businesses, I can't keep count. She is a mom, a wife, lives on a beautiful ranch and raises cattle and bucking bulls for PBR. She is actually the trainer for my PBR Bucking Bulls as well. And I love her dearly. And today we have Alisa Akrongold with us. Alisa is a former network TV producer. She's a wife, she's a mom. She, again, is somebody that's so accomplished in life. I can't tell you all of her things that she does, but we are so happy to have her join us today. And I am Linda Martinelli, and I am an entrepreneur, business owner as well. And today we also have Alisa Akrongold with us. She is a former network TV producer. She is a wife and a mom, and just has had a very, very busy, busy career. I am Linda Martinelli. I am also a business owner, entrepreneur, and also, along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, the host right here on America Out Loud of the show Talking While Married, which you can listen to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weeknight. So please join us there. So ladies, all of us have had relationships. We have kids and grandkids that have relationships. And sometimes it's really hard to watch some of these relationships. You know, there are red flags that happen in relationships on both sides, between girls and between boys. And we need to pay attention to those, and we need to teach our daughters to pay attention to those. And it will save people, I think, a lot of grief in relationships. Women tend to believe that they can overlook some of these really blatant red flags because the guy will change for them and it'll be okay and I can live with this. And the answer is always no. People don't change. They are what they are. And you need to pay attention to these red flags, because this is how women stay in relationships where they are being beaten up, where their children are being beaten up, where they are financially exploited by people. They need to look at red flags. So I want to talk about those red flags and see what you ladies think red flags are, in your opinion, that people of both sexes need to be looking out for.
Well, I've been married 30 years now. This month I was married 30 years. And so
happy anniversary.
Thank you. We took off and we eloped, like the thing where you elope and nobody knows and you come back and say, hey, we're married. And the first thing my mom's like, are you pregnant? And I'm like, no, not pregnant, just got married. So I was 19 when I got married, 49 now. We had nothing. Took off and got married, and we've been through about just about everything. And after 30 years of marriage, you've got to learn to forgive, but you've got to have a lot of good old horse sense too. So there is a lot of red flags, and you shouldn't have to stay in a marriage where you feel threatened or, physically hurt, emotionally hurt. No. I'm not for that at all. And there are red flags for that. But I also know that and each marriage is to itself, okay? It takes its own life, because it is a life. When you're married, you're joined together and you're one, and that becomes a new life. And so everybody's life is different and everybody's marriage is different. We have been through a lot. Extreme debt. We have grew up together. We've raised children together. We've done everything. So we have had hard times and good times. And now as you're older, over the course of the marriage, there's more good times than bad times. So there's a lot that you can't, I don't know. That's a hard one again. It's tough.
But Tracy, if you had a daughter and she's mm-hmm. dating somebody, mm-hmm. what would you tell her? Because I mean, for me, I would say if the person lies to me, that's a red flag. And I can't, that's a deal breaker for me. If a person were to hit me or be physical with me, that would be a deal breaker. What would you tell your daughter to look out for in a relationship before she gets to the point of being married?
certainly would look out for those things, or that, you know, that physical tendency or that discernment that you have that he's going to be abusive in some sort of form, and you got to really weigh out your situations. And then you have to also look at it kind of both sides, and you have to know that depends on their age. You know, you got to know that if they're young, they're doing young, stupid things, because when you're young, you have a lot more energy to fight, and you're fighting over usually stupid things, or you're fighting over something that's dangerous. You know, you're I work with men all the time, and my husband is, he's just great. I've never put myself out there to be flirted with, and I don't flirt, and, you know, I'm a leader. Me and him walk side by side and run this company. It's been through blood, sweat, and tears. It was not given it to us. We were not just blessed at 20 years old to know that how mature we are and we're going to treat you like this. We have hurt each other. We have tore each other's hearts out and threw it in the middle of the highway and ran over it with a semi truck. We have done it all. And because we've done that, we've learned. So I would tell my daughter that to use her best gut and her heart to know, because sometimes stupid stuff is just because you haven't grew up. And sometimes stuff like that is really dangerous and a pattern that they'll never grow out of. So I think it depends on age.
I think a lot of it has to do also with a girl recognizing that it doesn't always, the red flag doesn't always start with getting slapped or getting hit. A lot of times the red flag starts with little tiny emotional and mental changes, like maybe separating you from your family or making little comments to you about, you know, little degrading comments that come out as like a joke so that you don't really think it's a degrading comment. And then the next thing you know, he's very, very passionate. You know, there's a lot of different sorts of mental games that someone can play with you that gets you sort of addicted to them. And it becomes a dangerous situation as time goes on. And the longer you stay in that, the much harder it is to get out of that. It becomes an emotional, more of an emotional abuse as opposed to a physical abuse. Maybe the physical abuse comes later. So my biggest fear is, and I have a 15-year-old daughter, my biggest fear is the level of self-confidence that they have, that the girls have. Because I feel like if a girl has her own self-confidence and she does not feel like she needs a guy as opposed to wanting a guy as to walk beside her, like Tracy said, and be a friend and a partner, then I feel like she would be more equipped to make much better decisions. To me, it's all about the confidence. If a girl walks, you know, if a girl is, I think that men like that prey on girls. They find girls that they can kind of get into their heads and control them. It's more of a control issue. So I really try to talk to my daughter all the time about, you don't need a boy. You don't have to have a boyfriend. You don't have to have somebody who adores you or anything like that. It's how you feel from within. And if you feel good from within, then you look for the right kind of partner. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know what? I totally agree with what you're saying, because the mental abuse is just about as bad as the physical abuse. And that there's certainly a lot more of that going on than the physical abuse. That there are guys that are insecure in themselves. They're jealous. They, you know, kind of, they stalk their girlfriends, or they forbid them from doing things, or they are very controlling, and they do want to separate you from your family and your friends. And if somebody does that, I consider that a huge red flag. I mean, I know with my husband, he embraces all of my friends. You know, last night I had a get together at my home for a charity, but it was ladies. It was, you know, pretty much ladies. And they were people that I know that he doesn't even know. Oh, he was just out there. He actually ended up, you know, telling 18 people to stay for dinner and cooked them up a meal. You know, it's that freedom to feel like, instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to be bothering him, or oh my gosh, he's going to do this or think that, or, you know, I never have to feel that way. And that would be a huge red flag to me. If I had to feel guilty about living my life in a normal way with somebody, that would be a huge red flag. And again, I'm really big on young girls recognizing that if somebody lies or deceives you, that is such a red flag that just doesn't change. If they're not honest, that's, like I say, it's a deal breaker with me. But I, as a young girl, I was in relationships where people were very manipulative, where they wanted to remove me from my support system, right? My family, my friends. And that was a red flag. And I ultimately, you know, was out of that relationship because that doesn't work for me. But
did you realize that when it was going on, Linda?
You know,
or did it take time?
It did take time. It absolutely did take time because you think that you're in love and you want to do everything to make the other person happy. But what I realized is that I wasn't happy. And that's the thing, is that it takes time, Alisa, in life to learn that when somebody else does something that makes you feel uncomfortable, makes you feel unhappy, and you realize that you are altering the way that you behave to make them be happy, that just doesn't work. That's a red flag to me. And that's time to take a different, you know, a different avenue in life, you know, because there are healthy men out there that will treat you the way that you deserve to be treated. And, you know, the other thing that you said that I think is really important is about girls' self-esteem. So girls, sometimes guys make girls feel like they're the only one that would care about them, you know, because maybe they're overweight or maybe they, whatever their particular thing, you know, girls are very picky about how they look and how they see themselves. And if the guy celebrates how they are, it gives them confidence. But if they make snide remarks, then that takes away their confidence. And then they think, well, nobody else will ever love me but this person. I mean, that's a terrible trap to be in as well. So I think that I would love to see women take more care about themselves and their feelings, as Tracy said, their instincts about what feels right or not, because women tend to be good people and they want to stay in relationships and make it work. And sometimes it just is not going to work.
I have a question for Tracy. Like Tracy, you said that you eloped when you were 19. Like, so now looking back on that, do you think you would have waited to get married or would you have just done it the exact same way?
No, I would do it again. And it was hard. I mean, marriage has been a hard thing for us to do. And it was just because we were young and we were selfish. And I was a very confident person. I was, I was in college, finished my degree. I don't know. It's just, I think it's what stage you're getting married at. And I think, yes, you need to give your daughter as much confidence as you can. And you need to give all of our children all that confidence. And here's the thing. Children are like balloons. You want to blow them up and blow them up as big as you can, because when you let them go, the world is ready just to poke holes in that balloon and just let, you know, try to destroy it. So you got to give your children a bunch of confidence, and you got to have a support system, but your support system needs to be wise. You need to have wise counsel. And I was really appreciative of my parents because they knew we were young. They knew we were very still selfish, you know, so a lot of our problems was because of youth and because of being selfish. And we just grew up together. And we also took a big leap of faith and started our own business. And you know, and we've learned so much together that we know human behavior probably more than other people. I mean, we've just studied human behavior, just living it, you know, being around so many people in our life. And I wouldn't change it, because that's who made me who I am today. And that's who has made my husband who he is today, is those struggles. But I definitely think the confidence and a good, strong support system is key.
I sort of worry a little bit about my sons as well. I have three boys. And, you know, I see late, you know, the way things are today with boys being wrongly accused? I mean, certainly if they do something, if you know, they were to do something wrong, then of course they should be held accountable for that. But it just seems today that boys in general are guilty by accusation. If they were to go out with a girl and do something with a girl, I don't mean to, you know, digress in what we were talking about with our daughters, but it just sort of brought up my thoughts about our boys as well. You know, I happen to know a few people that this has happened to, and it just seems to happen over and over and more nowadays that boys will, you know, young boys, like either teenagers or guys in college or even guys in their young 20s, early mid 20s, you know, they go out with girls. The girls want to go out with them. They are all having a good time together. Maybe there's some drinking involved. Maybe things go to the next level. Maybe they have sex. Maybe things, you know, they're in a relationship or not. But a lot of times the girls wake up the next morning and they're like, oh my God, what did I do? How did I get myself into this situation? That's it. He must have raped me. And then, you know, they level these accusations on the boys. And it's almost like there's no recourse for the boys. They're just taken down to the studs, and it's going on. It's rampant. There's almost like a new arm of lawyers out there who are now practicing law just for this particular thing, to defend the boys that are being accused of this. So I don't know why that's happening. And it bothers me. It bothers me because I'm afraid. I want to tell my boys who are teenagers and in college, or what do you tell them actually? What the question is, what do you say to them? Like, so they want to go out with a girl. I want to tell my boy that's in college, don't touch anyone. Don't do anything. Because how do you know? How do you trust these girls? How do you know that they're going to be honest with you and that they're not going to accuse you wrongly of something if something like that happens? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, 100% agree. Because I have two boys. One's they're both mid 20. One's 25 and one is 22. So I have told my kids, you have a target on your back and you've got to be careful of the choices that you make. And regardless, they're men, and they're young men with lots of testosterone. And even if it's consensual, they've got to be careful. They have got to be careful, because it is a big deal. And let me tell you, these girls these days are smart, and they know they can play that card. And a lot of times, the parents just don't want to believe that their angel has done such a thing, too. So it's a deal, and it's a real deal. And I feel sorry for these young people that are trying to date and learning how to date and be in relationships, because when I dated, that wasn't even a deal. You know, it didn't escalate to that so fast, but I know it's different times now, and they have got to be careful. They've got to be careful. And I have just preached and preached, you've got a target on your back. And I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about, you can be pinned for a lot of things, and you have got to make good choices. But here's the thing. Every one of us has been made with a free will. We can preach and preach and preach and preach to our kids and pray about it, but they will make their own decisions, and that's what they're supposed to do. But we just have to pray it's the right one, because it's a real consequence for them and the rest of their life.
The thing is, a girl can wake up, and or maybe her parents find out, and so then she accuses them of rape to get herself, you know, out of trouble. Or maybe the relationship, it ends up not working out, and the girl still wants it to work out, and so then she accuses him of rape. I mean, there's so many scenarios that you could say. And I don't know what the answer is either. I agree with you, Tracy. There's a target on their back as young men anymore. And this is why men are, they're just afraid to even be talking to women anymore at holiday parties or anywhere. They're just afraid to have any kind of contact, because they get accused of so many different things. And, you know, it's taken a lot of the fun out of relationships, or out of just men and women type situations, where, you know, there might be a banter going back and forth, or there might be fun talk or whatever. Now, I mean, if you say anything, you get accused of sexual harassment. If you have a night, as Elisa was talking about, you get accused of rape. We have made this a crazy world for people, and people are not allowed to interact as they have always been allowed to interact because they have to feel uncomfortable around one another. And that's pretty sad.
Well, it's also this thing of believe all women. You know, it's one thing if that really did happen and a guy really does take advantage of a girl or assault a girl or anything like that, then of course he should be held accountable. But there doesn't seem there's just no due process for that kid. It's almost like even the colleges have adopted this thought process of believe all women. And if you're guilty by accusation, that's the problem. And then it sort of spreads around to everybody else. And, you know, people start to cancel that kid and he's no longer allowed in clubs or fraternities, or he's persona non grata at a party, or, you know, and it just destroys somebody. And then there's no recourse for that. And that bothers me. That really bothers me. I don't like that. I don't think it's fair.
Well, women lie. And that's fact. So it's not a sex thing. Men and women, when it's convenient for them, can lie. So why would we have to believe women all the time? I certainly have known women that have lied. I used to be a police officer. I saw lots of women lie. You know, they just do. So why would we have that attitude? The whole thing about accusing somebody is that they are innocent until proven guilty. And when it's a he said, she said situation, there's no proof that somebody is guilty. So we can't treat them that way. That goes against everything that we believe in this country.
I had one of my son's 100%. Friends, he was in college and he had his concealed carry. Well, he had it strapped with a concealed carry, you're supposed to keep it in a halter and a certain way in your vehicle. And he was totally legit on how to do that. And a girl had whipped into his parking spot and they had some words, and he had opened his door and they had had some words. It was something in the parking lot. Well, she had seen that gun and then went to the dean and said, look, he had a gun. He was, you know, threatening me. And it was not even near that. I mean, it wasn't anything like that. And what happened was the dean got in, the dean of student affairs got in, the friend had to hire a lawyer, and it's really, it's a deal. And I know this young man, it was just an aggravation of, hey, you got my parking spot. No, you didn't. And this girl got mad, seen the gun, and then all of a sudden, you know, she was threatening. It was a huge deal. It ended up working out. He's still going to college there, but it can go from sexual wise to sexual harassment or being threatened. There's just so many different facets.
It really bothers me that the men are being taken down in the country, and I don't think it's fair. I do think that if they did something, they have to be held accountable, no question, but only after due process. Only after that, they deserve all the rights that women have, and the whole believe all women sort of concept that's going around these days just does not sit right with me. I don't think that's fair to our boys.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.